My senior year in high school, I actually wore pants like that. I have a picture, and it's hard to imagine that we actually did that in that time. It's a pleasure to be with you. I've been looking forward to this for months, and I'm utterly delighted to be sharing with you. And I fear tonight that I might become the me monster, because I'm going to be telling you my story tonight. And I don't want it to be just about me. It's really about God's story and His story in my family, because I want to share with you some of what God has done in our lives over the years. Just a little bit about myself. I'm from New Hampshire. I think I'm about fifth generation New Hampshire. And I'm 53 years old. My mom died of cancer when I was 13 years old. It was a very profoundly difficult experience. It took her several years to die, and my whole upbringing was shaped by my mother's cancer and her death for me as an eighth grader. I didn't believe in God, and my mother's death caused me to be even more bitter at the God that I didn't believe in. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know any Christians. I went to a high school where I never met any Christians. My senior year in high school, I started dating a girl, and she became a Christian. And it surprised me, because I didn't know anyone who actually believed that, and I was quite stunned. Her faith caused me to start reading the New Testament, and I began to think about it. I'm going to tell you more of how I came to Christ in just a moment, but I married when I was 20 years old, and this is my wife Nancy and me in 1975. She's 4 years older than me, and it's hard for us to believe that we've been married for 32 years. This is just recently at the Dartmouth Bonfire, homecoming every year. There's always a big bonfire, and we're celebrating our 32nd year of marriage together. We have 4 children and 2 grandchildren, and my son Garrett is 28. He is actually one of the EdgeCore people that's on the picture on the poster back here. He did a year of Edge at the University of Arizona. My daughter Karen and her husband Drew, if any of you are from Detroit and are familiar with Genesis, the church, my son-in-law Drew is one of the associate pastors of Genesis, and they have been married for 6 years, have 2 children, Annika and Garrett, and a third on the way. My daughter Susie just graduated from massage therapy school, just moved to Virginia Beach, and my daughter Laura is a sophomore at Boston University. I would echo everything that Mark said about summer training programs. As I counted up, my 4 kids have spent 11 summers away during their college years or high school years, including with 3 organizations, including 3 summers at Martha's Vineyard working in a summer camp, Indonesia, Morocco, Snow Mountain Ranch, Colorado Springs, King's Dominion, Yellowstone. And my daughter Laura is already signed up for the Inside Washington program. She was the first applicant and will most likely be working for a senator from New Hampshire this summer. So I urge all of you, as a parent, I love my kids, but why have them bang around the house all summer when they could go to Kazakhstan or to Morocco or Indonesia? That's my thought about that. 2 grandchildren. I have lots of more pictures if you would like to see them. And a little bit more about how I came to Christ. As I mentioned, I had this girlfriend, and she became a Christian, and I mocked everything that she believed. I argued with her. I ridiculed her. And she gave me a New Testament, and I started reading it. We ended up breaking up largely over the issue of Christ. And now it was doubly bitter. I lost my girlfriend, and I was all the more embittered at the God that I didn't believe in. In March of 1972, in fact, it was on March 7th, I was just a few months from graduating from high school. I met the guy in the middle whose name is Rod Hersey. I met him. I was 17. He was 19. I didn't know anything about him other than that he was the drug pusher, the guy who was always in trouble, the guy who dropped out of high school, and he was the guy who was always on the street corner as the guy who was kind of the hood in town. And Rod asked me at the meeting that I met him at, he said, "Are you a Christian?" Because I mentioned that I'd been reading the New Testament, and I said, "No, I'm not." And then he said, "Would you like to hear how to become one?" And I was surprised that this question was coming out of his mouth, because of what I knew about him. And I said, "I would like to hear how to become a Christian." And for the next 3 hours, we argued over the cause of the nature of Christ, on the nature of the gospel. And somehow in the mystery of faith, my heart went from, like a toggle switch, from unbelief to belief. And I thank God for that moment. What Rod told me was that he had stolen a dump truck, or he was driving a dump truck illegally. He didn't have a driver's license. And the man on the right, whose name is Ray Namey, this happened in 1971. Ray Namey was a police officer in Hampton, New Hampshire, pulled him over, put him in the back of the police cruiser to give him a ticket. He was going to have to go to court. And in the back of the police cruiser, Ray said to Rod, "Do you like this life that you're living?" And Rod said, "I hate it." And Ray said, "You need Jesus Christ." And he led Rod to Christ in the back of that police cruiser. And a year and a half later, Rod led me to Christ. I didn't meet Ray until just about a year ago. And we were reunited after 32 years, and he is my grandfather in faith. And ironically, his son recently moved to our area. Ray lives in Baltimore. His son, Paul, recently moved to our area and was just over at my house for dinner on Sunday evening. Ray was led to Christ. I didn't know anything about this, but Ray was led to Christ in Vietnam by a navigator. And when Ray came back to Hampton to be a police officer, a local pastor named Phil Barton, they started praying over a little booklet called Born to Reproduce, written by Dawson Trotman of the Navigators. And they prayed that God would raise up young men in Hampton, New Hampshire. And this is my baptism picture from June of 72. And I had no idea that I would be one of those young men in answer to their prayers, that they were born to reproduce and that God would raise up men whose lives would also reproduce. I went off to college. I went to Worcester Polytechnic Institute in the fall of 1972. And two guys knocked on my door. Their names happened to be Chuck and Chuck. You know, no one names their kids Chuck anymore, but in my day, every other guy was named Chuck. And Chuck knocked on my door and said, "We heard you're a Christian," and I was a brand new Christian. I was all of 3 months old in Christ. And they said, "We're starting a Bible study. Would you join us?" And I did. And we started the Christian Fellowship at Worcester Polytechnic Institute that continues to this day. And this was a retreat that I spoke at a year and a half ago. I was a miserable engineering student. I don't know why I went to engineering school. It certainly wasn't to study engineering. And all I can say is that I failed miserably. And by the end of my sophomore year, I basically flunked out of engineering school. And I don't know if you've experienced failure, but I'd always been smart in school, and that was the biggest failure of my life. And I didn't know if God could in any way redeem my failure. I was also head over heels in love, and out of the blue, I told Nancy Quillen that I loved her. We'd never dated. And she said, she pulled a little slip of paper out of her Bible that said, "I love Craig Parker." And so I proposed to her 2 days later. I recommend that none of you go through the Craig Parker School of Dating. I told that story to some Dartmouth students, and one of our Dartmouth friends named Sarah said, "Oh, what a great story. I'm going to write down the names of 100 boys on 100 slips of paper and stick it in my Bible." I did get married at age 20, and shortly after we married, in February of 1975, God brought a pastor, he was the Christian education director in our church in Worcester, Massachusetts, and I got a job driving furniture, or delivering furniture in a furniture store. And Bill and Ellen moved to town. Now, they looked a lot younger back then, as did we. And Bill had been trained by the Navigators. I didn't know anything about the Navigators. But he started an early morning Bible study, met every Thursday morning at 5 a.m., and we had to have 2 verses memorized and an hour and a half of Bible preparation, and we met for 2 hours, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. And I don't know why we all went to it, but about 10 of us guys went to it, and we began to meet together. And I totally echo what Tom Young said about memorizing Scripture, because that's what we gave ourselves to, studying and memorizing. Bill said to us all, "I want you to find a guy." He had been trained to the Navigators that you find someone and you pour your life into him. And I was 20 years old. I didn't know what I was doing. I was driving a furniture truck. But I found a guy whose name was Paul. He was 16 years old. We all lived in the inner city. Paul had to leave his family because of a crisis, and he was living in a boarding house 4 doors down from me. He was 16 years old, a junior in high school, living on his own, paying his bills, going to high school, so I found him because I knew him, and we began to meet together. Paul is now a pastor in Tennessee. And he says, I'm here pastoring this church because a guy named Craig met with me about 34 years ago, and he discipled me. Now, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just doing what Bill was doing with me. We met together. We prayed together. We read the Bible together. We studied and memorized together. He was 16 years old. I was 20. I was just doing a simple thing. We met together as young men, and our wives became involved. And there were about 8 or 9 of us that were that committed ourselves in community. And we were together at WPI for 4 years. And I'll backtrack just a minute before I talk about Langley. Some months after Bill started our Bible study, he said, I think it's time for us to go up on the hill and learn about evangelism. Let's go share our faith with the guys in the engineering school. Now, I dropped out of college about the same time as Bill Gates. And I was a college dropout, and the thought of going back to the hill to try to evangelize guys who had been my peers, where I was now delivering furniture, was a deeply humiliating thing. And so that's what I did, and the rest of us. And 1 year, I spent a whole year just on one dorm floor, mapped out the whole floor, and I tried to share the gospel with all 60 guys on that floor. I did it again a second year. I did it again a third year. The fourth year, my friend Steve and I spoke at 9 fraternity houses. And I just tried to learn about sharing my faith and being bold with the gospel. I used to pray over Jeremiah chapter 1, where God promises to give boldness, even though I'm afraid, and God gave grace, and He helped us. And I learned a lot about sharing my faith. After the 4 years that Bill and Ellen and Nancy and me and some others were together, Bill one day said, the Navyers, because by this time Bill had gone on staff with the Navyers. I went to my first NAVS conference in 1975, and we just became in love with the Navyers. It was like a team that we could be a part of. We loved the friends. And we embraced what the Navigators were doing as an organization. We loved the vision of the Navigators. And we just signed up and said. And so Bill went on staff with the Navigators, and he said, the Navigators have invited us to move to Virginia. We'd like you all to come. Well, that meant for me, by this time I had 2 children. I needed to consider I had a job. Others of us had a job. And I don't know why we did this, but we all left our jobs and we moved to Virginia together because we loved each other and we wanted to serve Christ together. And we thought, literally, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll give all these things to you. And so I moved to Langley, and Bill asked me to be a team leader at an Air Force base. 4 days into being there, I met this guy, and again, he looked a lot younger then. He was 19 years old at the time. I was just with him about 3 weeks ago. He's now a CPA in Boston, a certified public accountant in a large accounting firm. But at the time, he was a jet mechanic working on F-15s. When I met Russell, I said, how'd you get involved with the Navigators? He said, I don't know. Tony just like told me about becoming a Christian, so I just became a Christian 4 days ago. And I don't know. You know, I'm just like showed up. And I said, well, I've been here about 4 days myself. Have you ever had a quiet time? No, I never heard of a quiet time. What's that? I'll tell you what. I'll meet you in your barracks. He lived in barracks 42. I'll meet you in your barracks at 6 because you have to go to work at 7 and I have to go to work at 7:30 and we'll read the Bible, and it'll take about 10 or 15 minutes, and he said, that'd be great. So that's what we began to do, and we met every Tuesday morning for a year. And Russell led his roommate, John, to Christ. And then Ron came to Christ. And then Rob came to Christ. And then Mike Board came to Christ. And the gospel spread throughout Barracks 42, and I just was amazed that the gospel was so powerful, even though, you know, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And we saw the power of God through the gospel throughout Barracks 42. I was in Switzerland 8 years later at a conference, and a guy named Rick came up to me and he said, hi, Craig, you don't know me, but I know you. Really, how do you know me? I was in Barracks 42, and all those guys were my drug buddies, and they became Christians, and it really pissed me off. And one day I couldn't stand it anymore, and I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus into my life. And I want to thank you for all the time you spent with all those guys. I just spent some time with a jet mechanic who was 19 years old. And we did the thing that Bill had done with me and that I did with Paul and that I'd done with others. We read the Bible together. We prayed together. We memorized Scripture together. Nancy and I decided to go on staff for the Navigators after 5 years of volunteering. And we moved to Norfolk, Virginia, And our first staff assignment was with ships at the naval port. Need to finish up here. And this, the memories of these ships, I can't even begin to tell you the emotions that I think that come to mind that flood me as I think about 3 years of trying to meet sailors on board ships. And I don't have time to tell you of what this was like for me as I was trying to meet guys down by the piers and follow up with them on board ships. And I met a guy named Daryl. He was on board the U.S. Yellowstone. He wasn't a Christian, but he was interested in becoming a Christian. And I did the same old thing. Here we are. He was a photographer's mate, and we're at 6 a.m. at the photo lab on board the Yellowstone, praying together, reading the Bible together. Daryl went on for a full career in the Navy. He's now finishing a PhD, a doctoral ministry, and he's teaching at a Christian college in Hawaii. And I think of the years, the months we spent together, and again, the sense of God using him on board that ship. Vince and I were asked by, the navigators asked us to consider moving to Germany. And in 1983, we moved to Germany. Now, what was difficult about this move was, as I mentioned, we had two children when we moved to Virginia. And God gave us a third daughter named Juliana. And just at age 9 months, Juliana was just diagnosed with cancer of the adrenal gland. She had surgery, and she died the day after surgery. And I know a parent's grief. I know what it's like to stand by your daughter's casket and wonder, why am I here? What happened? She was just in our arms a week ago. And so as parents who are newly grieving, the navigators asked us to move to Germany, and we went. And it was just that whole time. I can't begin to tell you how difficult it was. But then we put our kids in German school, and we were in Germany for 7 years. And all I could tell you was, as hard as it is to lose a child, this experience was just as difficult of putting our kids in German school. And some of the pain and difficulties that they went through, again, I can't begin to tell you. About a year into living in Germany, my dad wrote to me and said, "Your grandmother died 2 weeks ago." My grandmother had raised me after my mom's death. But my dad, you know, we weren't a family of means. And, And then my wife's dad died. And then my stepmother died. And then my wife had breast cancer. And she was in the midst of chemotherapy, and her mother died, and her grandmother died. And all this was the kind of thing that was unfolding for us. There was a time in my life where my brother Charlie said, "Craig, you're the kind of guy that if you don't have bad luck, you don't have any luck at all." And that's the way it felt for a time in our life. And I could tell you more, but all of these things were just things that we went through. My wife couldn't come back for a mother's funeral or a grandmother's funeral because she was in the midst of chemotherapy with breast cancer. And when Jesus says loving the gospel more than you love your parents or love your family, all I can tell you is, been there, done that, lived that, wrestled with that, have been with my wife sobbing in my arms, wrestling through, why are we doing this? How great is the kingdom of God? Is it a pearl of great price that's worth giving your life to? After 7 years, we felt it was time to come back, and these are some of the people that God gave us in Germany, and I could tell you more stories, but I don't have time. Out of the blue, we felt it was time to come back because of just, we had a phenomenal ministry, but out of personal family issues, felt it was time to come back. And a friend said, "Oh, you should go to Dartmouth College." Well, Dartmouth College, you know, is an Ivy League school, which is overrated in my opinion, but God bless Dartmouth College. I don't happen to have a college degree, but I ended up going to Dartmouth. And I'll just tell you, for the first 4 years, I felt like I was walking around in my underwear. Like, why am I here? And I'm here, and I don't have time to tell you all the details of what happened. But all I can say is, God, in His grace, has done a phenomenal thing at Dartmouth College. Using us, but not because we're like great, hotshot campus leaders. God has just used phenomenal people who've come out of, you know, stories that I could tell you. So these are, I love Dartmouth. It's Dartmouth was founded as a school to reach Native Americans. In the Charter of Dartmouth from 1769, it says, with a view to their carrying the gospel in their own language. When the Native people were to carry the gospel in their own language, that was the original vision of Dartmouth from 1769. I tell them, all my Dartmouth friends, when you carry the gospel in your own language, you're fulfilling its original vision. We've been involved, I'm sure, with over 1,000 students. This was just our Christmas party from last year. We've had over 40 students live with us. I'm sure we've served 1,000 meals at our house. We have a family dinner every Sunday evening. And I could tell you story after story after story, but again, I don't have time. But one guy who comes to mind is someone I met at an ice cream social a long time ago. He was my high friend for a year. And you know how you have high friends, people you just say hi to and you don't say anything else? Hi, Craig. Hi, Alex. Hi, Craig. Hi, Alex. 10, 11 times we saw each other. And one day we bumped into a street corner together, came up this way. Hi, Alex. Hi, Craig. Awkward moment because we were waiting to cross the street. Alex, my job at Dartmouth is to help people think about Jesus. And I know that your friend Dave loves Jesus and your friend Allison loves Jesus. And my job is to help people think about Jesus. Would you like to have lunch and talk about Jesus? How's that for a great introduction? He said, I'd like to do that. And so we met together weekly for a year and a half. We read the Gospel of Mark. We read the book of Acts. Alex came to Christ. He's from Cincinnati. Ended up going to Case Western, the medical school. Was president of the medical school Christian Fellowship. Met his wife, Laura. When I went to their wedding, they're the only couple I've ever heard of in their wedding vows say, and we will always give ourselves to the poor and downcast as part of their wedding vows. They're both physicians. They're headed to Peru to fulfill their vow to each other. We will always, always give ourselves to the poor and downcast. God, in his funny sense of humor, somehow has made me the regional leader of the Navigators in the Northeast. And I don't know why I'm in this position other than it's in God's grace. And I can tell you that when I started 17 years ago, there were only 2 yellow dots and 1 blue dot. And by God's grace, he's raised up people. There were only 4 of us in 1992. And now there are nearly 50 of us. And God is raising up a staff of friends and co-laborers that I love and that I want to die for. Because I'm committed to them. And I want to see them grow and flourish. And so, just 3 quick lessons. Number one, the interplay of love and truth. Psalm 117 is the shortest, it's so easy to learn, it's only 2 verses. Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud him, all peoples. For his loving kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord. Only 2 qualities of God. God is a God of love, and God is a God of truth. He's always loving. He's also always truth. And Jesus is the same way. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And scholars say these ideas of grace and truth almost certainly correspond with the idea of love and truth from the Old Testament. They're deeply woven together. And it's always important to love in truth and the truth in love. Second thing is the importance of scripture memorization. I can't emphasize enough what Tom said. Be students of this book. Apply the best years of your life to memorizing this book. I can't emphasize enough the power of God's word flowing through your mind. None of us like the phrase brainwashing, so I prefer the phrase mind cleansing. Because I don't know about you, but I know I need my mind cleansed. And the word of God flowing through our minds purifies and washes. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, Psalm says. Jeremiah, your words were found and I ate them. I treasured the words of your mouth more than my necessary food, Job said. I long for the pure milk of the word, 1 Peter 2 says. We can't enough spend time in the word of God. The last thing I just learned from the Navigators is the power of spiritual multiplication. If you spent your year, 1 year discipling one person, and the second year, you did it again. And both of you did it again. And then you did it again and again. Like I tried to do with Paul, the high school kid. And like I tried to do with some of the WPI students I met. And like I tried to do with Russell. And like I tried to do with Daryl. And like I tried to do with some of those guys in Germany. And like I tried to do with some students at Dartmouth. And just last Tuesday night, I was up at Vermont Tech meeting with a student named Roscoe. If you did it again and again through just 34 friends, you could disciple over 6.5 billion people. 34 friends, 34 years, the potential of your life is to reach billions and billions and billions. Now, our theme this weekend is the wholeness of God. And as Paul said, I'm obsessed with this topic of the wholeness of God. I'll tell you more about it tomorrow, but we're going to look at the God of wholeness tomorrow morning. We're going to look at the gospel of wholeness tomorrow night. And we're going to look at making wholeness on Sunday morning. Now, what I'd like you to do is we're going to just break into smaller groups of about four or five or six, whatever you want. Just turn your chairs. And I have three questions for you. I'd like you to interact with each other. Why'd you come to the conference? What expectations do you have? And is there anything about maybe my story tonight that you can relate to? Let's take a moment to pray. Father, last thing I want to be is the one who talks all about me, just as that comedian said. We praise you because your loving kindness is great toward us and your truth endures forever. We praise you, Lord Christ, that you are full of grace and you're full of truth. We praise you that you are the God of wholeness, and bless our time as we meet together to consider all the ways that you make us whole and all the ways that you cause us to make wholeness in the world. Thank you for this time tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and just turn in circles, and you have about 10 or 15 minutes to do that, and talk amongst yourselves.